lost sound. Oh, there it comes back. For a second there, I literally lost sound.
Yeah, I did too.
That's because there was no sound on that part of it.
Okay.
I just threw that together quick. Like I said, I'm going to revamp some things.
That's fine. I was looking for Full Moon Paranormal here in Facebook. Looking
us?
For you there, Nicole.
Did you find us?
Oh, I got Full Moon Paranormal Society of Northern California. Then I got, the first one on the list is Full Moon Paranormal. It looks like it's got a picture of like a cathedral or something.
It's a crypt.
Okay, like crypt. Yeah.
That's okay. Us.
That's you. All right,
I'll that's put us.
Awesome. There we go. I found you. All right. So, sorry. And like I said, I'm not completely with it this afternoon because my freaking head is killing me. It sucks. You know, I go in and work, come home, sit for a few minutes, and then I start getting a headache. And for no daggum reason. Anyway, so Nicole, I looked you up, found you here, got your crypt going. I see you as the first person in the picture, and then you got three others behind you.
Yep, we have Susan, we have Lisa, and the other Lisa.
So you have two Lisas and Susan.
Yep, two Lisas and a Susan.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So well, if you're referring to either one, I would suppose you would refer to them as Lisa and the last initial. And
yep. Yeah.
Or have one Lisa A, Lisa B.
Yep. We get a lot of responses on like the spirit box and things that come through, and it's like Lisa, and we're like, which one?
Which Lisa are you talking about or talking to? Or
yep. Can you clarify?
Please clarify. We need to hear this. When did you guys get established?
So Full Moon was started in 2021. So still relatively young in the paranormal field. But we've all been doing it for a long time. We just haven't come together as a team until then.
Okay, so your team connected in 2021.
Yep.
But each one of you individually has been doing this for a while then?
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty much had an interest in the paranormal.
Cool.
They were very young. I know I have. Susan grew up having experiences in her home. Lisa has had experiences. So everybody's been doing it for a while. It was just, about finding the right people to work with.
Cool. Yeah, it is nice to be able to find the right people that would actually go and do this stuff with you and everything. I mean, it's exciting. It's fun. It's interesting what you can find. So, unfortunately, we don't have the other three on with us, but we got you. So, tell me, what got you interested in, right about when did you get an interest in the paranormal?
I couldn't even tell you because it's literally been as long as I can remember, as far back as I can go. I've been interested in the paranormal. I would read every book I could get my hands on, watch every, the History Channel and Travel Channel used to do those documentaries before it turned into basically all paranormal all the time. There was like occasional specials. I'd watch those. I asked my parents to bring me to Salem for Halloween every year. Do like the ghost hunts and everything there. So it's been
that's cool.
Long thing.
That's pretty cool. So what kind of places do you like to investigate?
I say that I would like investigate a dumpster if it was haunted. I would go anywhere.
Okay, so what's your favorite?
We really like to hit the places that aren't overly investigated. You know, the places that are really known for paranormal activity. They're fun and they're really interesting, but we love getting into places that have never been investigated before. Because I kind of feel like those spirits, they have a story and they want to get that out there. They want to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't really had that opportunity.
I see. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the places that you've been?
We've been to, recently we did the Black Hill River Art, the Black Hill River Center for the Arts, which is the old Patchett House in Montgomery, New York. It has a really interesting history. It was a stagecoach stop and tavern back in the day before the Patchetts bought it and made it a family home. After the last Patchett family member passed, it was a funeral home, and there's still the embalming sinks down in the basement, so that's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Mm-hmm. And the funeral director kind of mysteriously vanished after a year or two there. Nobody really knows where he went.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So a nice little mystery, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the house sat vacant for a while before the Walk Hill River Art School took it over and turned it into, it's now like a gallery. They have some offices upstairs. They host art classes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got a lot of like varied activity from that too, because you have, back when it was a tavern, you have the Patchett family, you have,
mm-hmm.
we've encountered some spirits that supposedly were from the time where it was sitting vacant. Some homeless people kind of wandered in. So a lot of layers there.
Yeah, a lot of history in buildings like that.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the history of the buildings. In fact, the house that I live in was built in 1900.
Oh, wow.
And I do have activity here. From day one when I moved in. There's been activity.
See, mine was built in the late 80s, but I have activity here. So I think it's the land and the property.
It could be the land.
Next door used to be an old like harness racing track. And the right, you look out my window and that would have been where the grandstands were. And there was a lot of KKK activity.
Where are you located?
I'm in Walden.
Like, what's
in New York? In the Hudson Valley.
The Hudson Valley. Is that more central or is that upper New York?
A lot of that activity in New York. I mean, wow, that goes to show you that their spread went a lot further than just the South where they started.
Yeah, it was back in like the 50s and 60s, I think, where it was really big in this town. They had the rallies and everything, burning crosses and
mm-hmm.
crazy. We're about an hour and a half up from, like, north from New York City.
Okay, so you're more centralized in the state of New York. Then.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I had the I don't know if you can call it a privilege to deliver. Four crates.
Uh-oh.
Down to,
here we go,
5th and 51st Avenue, downtown Manhattan, and that was in a big 26-foot street truck.
Oh, God. That's scarier than any haunted place I've ever been.
I did it because it was something that I wanted to experience, because I'd never been to New York. I'll never do it again, though.
I don't drive in the city. Never have, never will.
No, well, yeah. I actually had a taxi driver, and I was following the law, the rules of the road. I was stopped at a red light. I had a taxi driver literally whip out, pass me, honk, flip me off, and run the red light.
That reminds me of, I was the yellow ones don't stop.
Yeah, it was yellow. It was one of the yellow cabs.
Yep, they don't stop. Yep.
That's one place I wouldn't want to drive cab. Yeah. No. You know, I've watched Cash Cab enough to know that, yeah, I don't think so. Madison was bad enough.
You know, I was born and raised in California, so all the San Joaquin Valley area, the mountains that are getting 12 feet of snow this year, few days here, and the coastal region, that was all my stomping grounds out there. So that's where I started with the paranormal stuff, and that was back when I was about 13, 14, something, you know, in that area. So.
Was there a lot of historic places out there? Because I find that, like, in Hudson Valley, we're very spoiled because everything here is pretty old.
No, the way this nation is and the way it all runs is East Coast to West Coast. East Coast is where all your aged and historical, older buildings, land, everything is at. And then the further to the West Coast you get, West Coast you get, closer to California in that area, it's newer. It's not as old. You still have the gold rush times of the 1800s California. What's that, Joe?
The Wild West.
Well, yeah, the West was very wild. And
well, you're all like...
But see, the whole thing about California, though, you got to remember... California, before the United States became the United States and everything got moved out, you know, everybody started getting out there, California was actually part of Mexico. Just like New Mexico was, just like Texas was, just like Arizona was, and then parts of Nevada. They were all part of Mexico. And we, you know, excuse me, our forefathers and our founders, they're the ones that actually took that land from the Mexicans. So, California, that's why in California you have a rich history of from the Hispanic part of it. You know, you don't have most of the Native Americans that were left in California during the time I was there growing up. They had background in the Hispanic heritage. So, but yeah, you still have a lot of historical history out there too. And a lot of crazy crap is going on out there.
Yeah, we're lucky to be in this area. We have a lot of restaurants even that are from like the 1700s. I mean, not a lot, but you know, a decent amount that you can go to from that were around during revolutionary times.
Oh, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. I'd just be afraid to go anywhere near New York, you know, and it's not because of the paranormal, it's just because of the way things are nowadays. Yeah, you know?
New York's not bad, Joe.
Many people in such a small area.
No, look at New York. Most of the population of New York is gathered in that one area down there called New York City.
Yep. Come upstate a little bit.
You go upstate, it looks like Wisconsin. I'm serious. Hmm. I have been to upper state New York on deliveries too. I actually had to drive through upper state New York to get up to, I think it was up to Maine that we went to. And yeah, this is years ago. So, but the only reason I said, okay, I'd like to experience going to New York City, Manhattan Island, was because I'd never been. Yeah, I wanted to. That was a bucket list thing.
No, very low on my bucket list.
And yeah, I won't ever do it again.
Came, you saw. Never coming back.
I came, I saw. I conquered at the time, and I am not gonna ever drive on that island again. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I will never drive on that island again.
lock me in like the darkest basement full of crazy paranormal activity. No problem. Drive in New York City? Nope.
Nope. Yeah, I wasn't. Where I dropped at, it was a brand new Louis Vuitton they were putting in, and I was not that far away from the park there.
Central Park?
Yeah, so thank you. You know. Yeah, I wasn't too far away from Central Park.
Yeah, so right in the busy.
But it was a chore trying to find my way down to where I needed to be. And I wound up getting on that expressway that runs next to the river that you're not supposed to have trucks on.
Oh.
I somehow got on that. This was late at night. Like, I had to be there at like 9 o'clock at night. So this was already sundown, late at night. And I wound up getting myself turned around pretty good. That was one time it was kind of weird because I don't usually get turned around.
Not the place you want to do it either.
No, definitely not.
Because there's no slowing down. You know, most places you can kind of like slow down, get your bearings. Nope, not mm-hmm. there.
Not there.
You just got to keep going.
And then once I got out of there, I talked to the person that I was in contact with for the delivery. And I asked her, I said, how the do I get out of this joint? Easiest way. She just said, well, you go over here, go to this street, and go straight up, and it'll take you right to your on-ramp to the George Wash, and then take you back over to Jersey. Okay. So that's exactly what I did. It was an experience. It was a huge experience. And I tell you honestly, I would love to be able to actually go down to some of the buildings and hotels, the old hotels down in the cities. I'd love to actually be able to go back there, not drive, but actually go and do some investigating in some of those older hotels. I bet there's all kinds of weird stuff going on down there.
Yeah, there's tons of places in the city that are really old and historic, and we don't really think about it because everything's so shiny and new, but there's some beautiful architecture, a lot of history.
Look at the Empire State Building. What's that, Jim?
The mob history, where it all started. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of mob history in New York. Started as well.
In New York. I mean, there is a actual, if I'm not mistaken, an area that they call Little Italy. Somewhere around there.
Greenwich Village.
That's might have been what they called it back then. But you think about all that mob history.
Yeah, you know, and then that right there, the kind of things that the mob was involved in, and also the type of deaths that they caused. You know, that's a releases a type of energy that will actually imprint and stay around.
Yeah, sure. There's the Merchant House Museum that's in the city. That's, I think, from the early 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. That's supposed to be really haunted, and they've preserved that really well.
Cool. Do they do any kind of tours or anything like that in there?
I think they do tours, and like you can go visit. I'm not sure about the whole paranormal aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But we've spoken to a person who works there, and there's definitely a lot of activity. It's on the list to go do an investigation.
Okay, have you ever done anything like cemeteries? Have you ever went into do cemeteries?
Yeah, we do cemeteries a lot, actually, because it's one of the easiest places, you know, if you're driving around.
Yeah.
And you see an old cemetery, you can just go. You don't have to make arrangements. You don't have to ask permission as long as it's during public hours and you're not doing anything super weird.
Mm-hmm.
We do every October, we do haunted cemetery tours in Washingtonville. as part of their Halloween event, where we go and there's a really cool history of some of these graves and these people who lived in this town. And we have a historian, and she talks a little bit about the history, and then we do a little investigating at each stop.
That's cool. That's cool. In your time of doing all this stuff, have you caught any good evidence?
I think so. I mean, it really depends on what you're hearing as evidence. Like, it's definitely something anomalous. My favorite is we were at someone's office. It's now an office building, but it used to be an old school in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And she was having the woman whose office it was went in and she was doing something, and all of a sudden the door starts rattling. Like the blinds on the door were visibly shaking. And so she called us out. We were investigating. And I set a REM pod up, like a trigger REM pod, up on the door. And it was going off. So I'm filming this REM pod going off. And you see a shadow walk up to the door and completely block out the shades. And it's so solid that I think it's a real person and I stopped filming. But so I have like a 2-second clip of this shadow approaching the door and standing there before I'm an idiot and turned it off and was like, oh, that's a person. It's not a person.
So, but what caused you to actually turn it off? Because you thought it was a person?
Because I thought it was a person. I was like, oh, that's why it's going off. There's someone walking up to the door.
Okay.
I myself,
in a situation like that, I think I would have left the camera running.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have several cameras, so we try to leave them. We try to put one stationary and let it run all night.
Well, that's just it. If it was a real person, you can always edit that out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can edit it so it's not.
It's easier to take a portion of the video out of there than it is to kind of mash a bunch of shit together.
Yeah, for sure. And now we have body cams, so it's always recording.
Yep, we got those too.
We did that too. Mm-hmm. We learned the hard way about body cams.
Yeah, one of the investigations that we went on, Joe and the guy that got us in there, they were headed out to have a cigarette in this hallway that they had to walk down. There's three lights that are hooked up to one. They're hooked up together completely to one switch. So if the switch gets flipped, all three lights come on at the exact same time. The middle light flickered on and off, and the other two lights didn't do anything. And they seen it, and they didn't have camera or anything.
Because I didn't have a camera or nothing with us. And I'm like, thank God I wasn't alone, because they wouldn't believe me. They would have thought I was nuts.
Oh, we already think you're nuts.
Tell you whatever. But we sat there even before we went outside to have a smoke. We sat there and we like, you know, bumped the wall because you could see where
they tried to debunk it. They tried to do everything.
They're trying to figure out what may have caused that light to flicker and couldn't figure it out.
Well, the funny thing is, too, my daughter was on that investigation with us, and Joe and myself and my daughter, we went down to the seating area that was down next to the bar. the bar was closed up, but there was light switches so you could turn lights on and off in that area. The bar, for some reason, kept some lights on above the bar. So we're sitting there. We had the lights off. We're doing an EVP. We had thermal cameras and everything else. And once we were done, we made sure all the lights were off and we went upstairs. Well, another group that was with us came, you know, of the people that was with us, they came down and went into that area. And then they actually called back up to us and asked us if we had left the lights on down there. From the time we walked out up the stairs and they came down, those lights came back on.
Yeah, and there was nobody else in that building the rest of the night. It was
just us
lockdown, except for us. All that
we were the only ones that had access.
All the doors that leaded to the outside were locked once we were in.
So yeah,
that's interesting.
So yeah, we and I And on three different pieces of equipment, two different cameras and then a voice recorder, I actually caught the exact same thing, which was sounded like a whistle. Mm-hmm. Sounded like someone whistle and like trailed off. You know, started whistling and then trailed it off.
Yeah, but...
But the thing is, when that happened, it happened whenever one of the people that was with us asked the you know, entities or whatever to show themselves and come by or come over because he has a piece of pizza for them. And it was right after that, after that, it's like on all three, on two cameras and the audio, and the voice recorder.
Well, that building was very active when we were there. I guess we were lucky. I mean, early on, we were just sitting around in the one bar room area where it's just a small room. And there was a bathroom on the one side opposite, you know, just right up against the one hall, right there.
Where the seating was.
And water come on while we were there. And they got up quick. Water wasn't on, but the sink was wet.
Well, the other lead person from the other group that was with us, his first reaction was, because it wasn't the standard industrial toilet that you'd find in a bathroom. This one had the tank on it. And sometimes these tanks, you know, it'll leak a little bit of water into the bowl, and then that'll cause it to cause the float to drop enough to turn the water on to refill the tank. That was his thought.
Okay.
It didn't sound that way to me. It sounded like somebody literally turned the water on. And I was the first one to catch it. I was the first one to hear it. And but when we jumped up, he was the first one in the bathroom. His first reaction, pull the top off the tank and look.
Mm-hmm.
And normally there'd be bubbles or movement of the water. There was none. My first reaction, I went over to the sink and I was looking and I rubbed my finger around the drain and there was cold water there. And there shouldn't have been because nobody used that bathroom that night until after that happened.
Do you find that, like, it's always bathrooms? For some reason, everywhere we go, like, the bathrooms get a vibe, and there's always stuff going on in the bathroom.
Okay, I'll give you an idea of the possibility why. Because there's water in that bathroom, and water will conduct that energy that the spirits use. So turning that water faucet on could have gave it the energy it needed to do something else that it wanted to do.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Because flowing water does create energy as well. So that's just a theory of mine.
Yeah. I mean, that would explain it, but it does always seem to be creepy bathrooms or stuff happening in bathrooms. We went in one event and this guy did not believe he was there with his wife, was not into it at all. And he went into the bathroom away and he comes out. He's like, are you effing with me? Are you effing with me? Who did that? Apparently something or somebody was slamming on the door when he was in there.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I love. Mm-hmm. Whenever people that are skeptics have something happen to them that they can't explain. I absolutely love that. Because
a wild night.
For me, that authenticates a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they already have it in their mind that this is not happening, this is not real. Where somebody who's very, very into the paranormal and, you know, goes on these investigations all the time, they're going to think everything's paranormal. They want to believe, like, you know, X-Files.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, and I do. I want to believe. I have beliefs of all kinds of weird stuff that may be out there.
But some people make it hard for you to believe, you know, because of all the hoaxes out there.
Yeah.
People
all the setups.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Mark, but I got a question. Just because she's from New York. Have you ever thought about going or been to the Amityville house?
No, because it's a private house now.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's somebody bought the house and they changed, you know, those windows,
mm-hmm.
that look like eyes? They changed the windows so it doesn't even look the same anymore.
The signature windows from the Amityville house. Or no. The Amity house.
So you can drive by it and you can like kind of walk up on like the sidewalk, but you know, I'm not going all the way to Amityville to look at a house.
One of those. Now here's my view on that house. Mm-hmm. Okay. From all the research I've done and heard about it. That's one of those ones that, you know, probably might have been an historical place for paranormal people if it wasn't for George Lutz and his family or whatever. Because when the Lutz took it over and they created all those far-fetched stories, and if you dug deep enough, it was all about the true story of that house has enough. I mean, the true story about that house is actually scarier than the stuff they made up for the movie. You know, where the guy killed his family in cold blood. And then he changed the story so many times. You know, and he shot them all while they were in bed, sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom. You know. And the guy was a lunatic. And he, right up to the day he died in prison, he denied doing it.
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, we weren't there. We don't know what happened. But there's a lot of versions of the story.
Right.
But I think that happens, too, when, like, film and TV gets involved and all these documentaries. And
we
each take, like, a little different spin on it. So by the end, you know, you have to kind of pare down what actually happened. And get rid of all the sensationalism and all the
BS. I think the guy was nuts because he sure did act like it when they did those prison interviews with him before he passed away. And to kill your family in cold blood like that, you got to be a psychopath.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's just basic psychology 101. You know, but the horrific part of that could leave enough energy in that house to create things to happen, but not as much as what the Lutzes and their attorneys did.
Well, you supposedly know, the family that's there now has had nothing
else. Yeah, there's like several families that's been there after George Lutz and that family that bought the house after that, they're the ones that made up the story, you know, and glorified it. And with their attorney, there was books made, movies made and stuff on their stories. But everybody that's owned that house after that, nothing. You know, or, you know, those minor, tiny little things happen and they don't even notice it. You know, like a cupboard door opening or something, you know.
You kind of wonder what kind of person buys the Amityville Horror House. Like, if I was house hunting, that wouldn't be on my list. I mean, it's a famous house. You know the history. I wouldn't want to live there.
Well, exactly. You do, maybe, if you're looking into the history of the houses, you probably do know that. Or know the history.
Yeah.
But still, again, you know, who's to say you're going to have any kind of activity?
Yeah.
Well, there's been quite a few families after the Lutzes that's owned the house that's had nothing happen to them while they lived there. Most of them moved because of being bugged by people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
People are always worse than the ghosts.
People are terrible.
But I'm thinking, like, maybe the kind of person who would buy that house isn't the kind of person who's open to paranormal activity to begin with. They're very closed off because
that's a possibility.
If you're, you know, very into this, you're not going to just buy it and live in it with your family. You're going to maybe buy it and turn it into kind of a paranormal attraction like they did with the Conjuring house.
Right. Or Willow's Weep. Or Weeping Willow, whatever that house is called in Indiana.
Willow's Weep.
Willow's Weep. Thank you.
Yeah. So maybe these people are just super closed down to it, too, where they're not even going to notice it. Like you said, if a cupboard opens, they're just going to close it and be like, okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are pretty closed-minded to a lot of it. You know, I've since seen too much to not. You know, I tend to believe that anything's possible. You know.
Yeah, I've experienced way too much to.
But is that kind of like, you know, when you buy a car and then you see that car everywhere on the road?
Yeah, that happens like, a lot.
With the paranormal, well, those cars are still out there. You're just not noticing it because you're not looking for it.
It's like I see the point there. It's like whenever I had my Caliber. You know, I didn't see a lot of them. I wasn't noticing a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
After I bought it, then all of a sudden I start seeing Calibers everywhere.
Yeah. same when we did the Avenger or the truck we have now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So once you have a personal experience or you like start looking into this, then you start seeing it more.
True. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, because of all the experiences I've had in my past, I'm jaded to it all.
Yeah.
I'm one of the crazy people that if I went on an investigation with you know, any group and something strange happened or you've seen a shadow or you hear something or a door opens and closes or, you know, something like that. A lot of these groups that I've talked to and seen will say they'll kind of, you know, not sure about walking up and checking it out. Me? I'll walk right up there. I'll talk to whoever it is. I'll open the door. If I see a shadow, I'll walk over to the shadow. You know?
Yeah, but you hear a door open and stuff. You got to walk over there to see, okay, is there a breeze? You got to look for the rational explanation. And if you can't find an explanation, well, then there's more unanswered questions.
Well, Do you guys try to debunk your own stuff?
We try to debunk everything. Yeah. I always say, like, you'll see us looking like crazy people at an investigation because we're sitting there, like, jumping up and down, like, knocking on walls, trying to, like, everything to recreate what happened.
Yeah, that's a sign of a good investigator. Is trying to debunk anything that you feel that you've caught, trying to debunk it.
We were at the Patchett house, actually, not this past time, but previously, and the basement is where, like I said, the embalming sinks are. We were all up on the main floor, and we hear the basement door rattling. So we're checking for a breeze. We're trying to, like, recreate it. We have somebody, and I'm filming, and we're having somebody, like, walk around because, you know, old house. Sometimes if you step over here, it's going to make something vibrate over here or rattle over here. Mm-hmm. We're trying to recreate it, have people walk around. And we got on two different phones because we were recording the video. Get out. So we're trying to debunk one thing and we got something else.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun part too.
Yep.
But I like debunking, especially when I'm watching stuff on TV too. You know, like some of those shows when they start watching, there was one real famously that took place that actually I got it before they did. I was sitting here, you know, got it before they did. But they pretty much debunked the famous cryptid, the Ozark Howler.
They
debunked it. They figured out that, because I mean, science ain't going to say it, because they don't believe that this happens in all the felines in the world, you know. But if it can happen in one, it can happen to do it all. That pigmentation thing that causes them to be all black. Mm-hmm. So the creature's been. Have this weird kind of childlike scream, and it's all black with like reddish eyes. Right? Well, depending on a feline's eyes, or you know, like dog's eyes.
All nocturnal creatures have that red glow whenever a light hits it.
Mm-hmm. Right, depending on the angle of the light, it could be red. Some animals could be green.
It's very rare you find green. It's mostly red and orange.
But I'm making a point, all right?
Uh-huh.
So, but that dark, you know, where it causes the cat to be all black. Well, bobcat has a very, very unique sound to it. It's not like any other feline out there, and I've heard it before. So I was like, bobcat. Well, all these scientists saying, well, they saw a bobcat. The scat came back, bobcat. But they say, well, it can't be black. They don't come in all black. But they were describing, when these people described it and the sound, the experts said that the sound, that the audio that was captured was bobcat. But when you look at a bobcat, and if you see it like its shadows, it would have that kind of look that they were saying, where it had horns, because they've got this kind of spike on their ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
they have their ears.
They were saying that, you know, when they see this thing, it had horns. No, that was just the bobcat's ears.
Yeah, they have a tuft of hair that sticks out
on
the top of their ears.
Right.
It's kind of crazy that, you know, people wouldn't figure this out, because I search black bobcat and right there is a black bobcat. Like,
whoa.
People don't even try.
Well, we've got one here. I'm in Wisconsin. I've lived here all my life. Until we started doing this, you know, I believed in a lot of stuff, but I had no idea how strange Wisconsin really was. Okay. But they had sightings of a black panther in Wisconsin. The DNR and all these government official places would tell you that pigmentation does not exist in cougars, or AKA mountain lions, depending on where you live in the same world, it's the same cat. But we have them here. They're native to Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't there be a black one?
There can be. Why not?
But they say that what everybody's seeing is not a panther. It's just an overgrown house cat.
No.
There's a big difference between an overgrown house cat and a mountain.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
This is what the DNR is telling these people that shit. You know, come up with these trail cam pictures or these videos of this thing trancing through their yard. You know, nope, it doesn't exist. It's just a house cat.
But a lot of things, you know, didn't exist until they did exist.
Right.
Exactly.
Like that fish that was extinct, though. What is it? The coelacanth?
Coelacanth. Yep.
It doesn't exist. No, it's not real. And then they catch one and now it's real. Like, it was always real.
They always thought the coelacanth was extinct.
Yeah.
Just like the horseshoe crab. Now, you know the horseshoe crab? You can trace its lineage back a couple million years. But it's still around.
Yep.
Well, you know? That's like the documentary that the same people. I like Josh Gates, by the way. So this is coming from, like, Expedition X deal, where he sends his two people out and they report back to him. And they were looking into the Jersey Devil. Okay. And this guy at the end, towards the end of the whole thing, this guy was, they were talking to, was saying that, you know, back in the 1700s and 1800s, there were ships coming in from Africa, and there was this giant bat that would stow away, and they got loose. Well, why can't they reproduce and still exist in that area, you know, where this Jersey Devil is being seen? I forgot what they call it. It was a hammerhead. It's a giant fruit bat, but
it's a hammerhead.
It's called a hammerhead bat, but it's of the fruit bat species, but it's ugly looking. It's got almost like a horse type head to it.
Yeah, why not? I think that the logical explanations or like the more natural explanations sometimes might be the right ones.
Sometimes it could be the wrong ones. We don't know. It's all theories nowadays.
That's the thing. All of this is theories. Like, if somebody claims to be an expert, they're lying, because
that's nobody been going around a lot on Facebook today.
Joe has the same theory on that too. Whenever a person in the paranormal field comes forward and says, "Oh, I'm an expert on this. I'm an expert on that. I'm an expert." It's like, you can't be an expert, because
it's all theories.
Everything is theories until proven fact. And then even when they're proven fact, there are other aspects of it that are still theory.
Well, you take those guys like Chad Lewis, Ken Gerhardt, and some of those other guys we see on TV. They don't claim to be experts. They're basically got a degree in cryptozoology, okay? So that's why they're being taught, you know, to talk about the cryptids.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, Nicole, do you guys just stick with, spirits and stuff, or do you actually look into the cryptids? Because I know upstate New York has been known to have sightings of Bigfoot.
Yeah, it has. We, as full moon, we pretty much do the ghost thing. We do our public events, we do private cases. We're not opposed to anything else. There's just not really too much that comes our way with that. We know a lot of people who are into Bigfoot, who do the UFOs.
I've got some good pictures of UFOs.
Yeah.
I actually took a picture myself of one.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I'm not even sure what it is.
It's unidentified.
It's unidentified.
Yeah. Right.
Well, when I was setting up to take the picture, I was in my car coming home from work. I had a Galaxy S5 at the time. It was really interesting, because it was a really dark, like ominous looking cloud, like rain type cloud, but it was imposed over a white cloud. And you could see the white clouds outline and everything. And I thought it looked really cool. So I was going to stop and take a picture of this thing. So by the time I found a place I could pull over and stop without having too much problem and get my camera ready, the cloud had dissipated. And all that was left was this one little black spot right in the middle of the white cloud. So I went ahead and snapped the picture. The weird thing is, when I was putting the camera, when I put the camera on it, you've got the little red square on the cameras,
yeah.
And that's always trying to pinpoint the object in the background or foreground, and it kept trying to focus on it. That red square kept going on that and focusing on it and trying to focus and bring it in. So I wound up just snapping the picture, not thinking anything of it. So when I got home, I started looking at it, and it looked kind of weird. So I put it on the computer so I could bring it up a little more. I was able to blow it up pretty good size. And it looks like there's something there.
That's cool.
Hey, Virgil. So, yeah. But I won't, you know, when I show it to anybody, I don't say... I honestly don't say, "Here, this is a UFO. Look at it." You know, mm-hmm. No. I say, "Look at this picture. This is something I took myself. tell me what you think you see.
Yeah, I like that approach, because with EVPs and things like that, you know, if you tell somebody, hey, this says get out, and then they listen, they're going to hear it. But if you say, right. hey, tell me what you hear,
mm-hmm.
they may hear something different. They may be like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a possibility, you know, mm-hmm. that.
Say hi to Caprice.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Caprice.
Hi.
This is my granddaughter. She likes the paranormal, too.
Oh, cool.
She's waiting to go on an investigation with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been wanting to very badly.
Yeah, you haven't been taking me yet.
Well, you got to talk to that old man sitting next to you there, because he can't go out in the cold because his blood is Mountain Dew. And it gets slushy when it gets cold.
Calling you out. My son is 15, and he's been bugging me too to bring him out more. He's been on a couple, but
yeah, I think honestly, I think if the kids find an interest in it, I'm wholeheartedly agreeing that they should be brought in to be able to start learning it, you know, give them that opportunity.
And better to do it the right way than you know, sitting out in the field with a Ouija board, like calling in demons and stuff.
Do you work with a Ouija?
I don't. I mean, I don't think that they're like inherently evil like some people think. I think like they're anything not. Else, it's a tool. But it's more the fact that people don't know what the heck they're doing, and they start trying to scare each other.
When you work with a Ouija, you gotta and you first start with it, you need one person to be the focus point for the energy flow. If you got both people, then you have a higher chance of something malicious coming through. So you have one person be the focus point, and that person will be the conduit to say. And then when you're finished with your session with it, you always have to say goodbye. You always have to close the portal. Otherwise, it's left open to where you could have energies that you didn't expect come through it.
Yeah, I just see a lot of times, you know, that's people's first kind of foray into the paranormal. It's like, oh, you're teenagers, you're sitting there in like a basement or somewhere, and you're trying, you know, you're already a little spooked, you're trying to scare the crap out of each other.
No.
And then you end up like throwing the board and like, nope, we're done. Never closing things off properly, never.
You know, we never did that. You know, when I grew up, we never did that. We sat in the cemeteries, though, and told ghost stories or, you know, the scary stories. But we never, you know, messed with those boards.
We did. Before I knew better.
Yeah, well, you ever do it solo?
No.
What age were you when you started messing with it?
I don't even know. It had to be young. Probably early teens.
I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I was sitting cross-legged in the dining room area. Ouija board on my lap, no one else with me, and I was using it.
Wow. That's real young.
Because I seen my I sat there for a while having a conversation with something, and the last thing it told me is it wanted me to go to hell with it.
Oh, that's pleasant.
So I was like, oh no, we're done, goodbye, and then I pushed it aside. So But then I don't have a fear of them. None of that stuff scares me. I've experienced way too much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really scared of much at this point. I say that and, you know, knock on wood, because I don't go into investigations and into places with that thought that anything negative or evil has any kind of power. And I just don't give it that that part, if something comes through with our equipment that says like, oh, evil or go to hell or get out. I'm like, no, we're not getting out. We're here for another, 3 hours. If you don't want to talk to us, that's fine. But
I get it. I've made myself the focal point many a time on investigations. I actually had 5 pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me because of my actions. As soon as we got to the place, I provoked whatever the hell was there, and it did not like me.
It serves you right. It did. It served you right. I never laughed so hard afterwards.
Whatever.
I mean, you knew there was something there. I mean,
but the thing is, everybody else had a good night that night.
Well, yeah, it was a good night, but you knew something was there.
Yeah, and I made it active. I got it pissed at me and made it active, and then everybody else got a good night because of it.
I think it was already active.
Okay, then I made it more active.
Because I think there was just too many people invading its space.
Possibly.
You already had the couple that was living there that owned the place.
Yeah, I know.
All right, and then you had Dale's team.
And then us.
I can't even remember how many there was of them. Then there was the 4 of us. So, it had a reason to be active. I mean, I got sick and I had to walk out real quick and get myself back together to walk back in.
Yeah, I'm the only one of our on our team who is not a psychic medium or sensitive or anything like that. So when things happen, I'm the one who has to like go check it out because I'm not going to be affected by it.
So you're not a sensitive?
I don't think so. I mean, I like to go with the logic and the things that you can document and see. Yeah. So if, I am, I kind of shut all that off and don't really go by it. Once in a while, I'll be like, no, I don't like this room or something. And when I feel it, they're like, oh, like it's real because Nicole feels it.
Well, that's the thing with me. I'm a sensitive. I can actually sense the energies around me. I can actually see people's auras as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. I gotta kind of put myself in the right mindset. But I can see auras. It can come in handy at times.
Yeah. I got to the point with it where I can see like the outline, mm-hmm. the kind of like energy outline of people, but no colors or anything.
So you haven't seen you haven't got to the point where you can see the colors, but you can see the outline of the aura itself.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
It's very interesting, when you're listening to like a boring talk or something, and then you just like start seeing like the outline of people because you're kind of zoning out a bit.
That's because you're allowing your mind to open up to a different spectrum at that point. Because you're so bored with what you're hearing or listening to, mm-hmm. that your mind is trying to find other avenues to keep you occupied.
Yeah. So that's about as close as I've gotten.
Lisa is my other half. She's sitting downstairs right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what she said. Mm-hmm.
Remember I said
my house is built mm-hmm. in 1900? So my stairs started creaking, and the only time they creak is when somebody walks on them.
Wow. It's just you, her, and the dog.
It's just me, her, and our dog Jasmine, and Jasmine lays on the couch.
I was just going to say, Jasmine's probably laying down right next to her.
Jasmine lays on the couch when any of us are on the couch. She'll get up there and lay on the couch with us. And
Did you ever do an investigation in your house or anything like that?
Not yet. I haven't really did anything like that yet. My daughter wants to do the Ouija board with me.
I have the green screen on now, but sometimes when I'm doing like live streams from my office, I'll set up equipment in the background. Like I don't invite it in. I don't like ask it questions and stuff, but I'll set up some equipment just, you know, see if it does anything. And a lot of times it'll go off.
That's funny. That's cool too.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm not investigating, not really. I'm catching it doing whatever it's already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Got to set up some stuff in the background there and see, like a cat ball up on your desk, see if it starts going off randomly.
Well, you never know.
I have enough around here going on that I don't need that stuff because we've got those Google Home things and Alexa.
I got a couple of Alexas.
And those damn things will go off for no reason at all. It can be totally quiet. And they just go off.
Mm-hmm. The one in our dining room does that.
Weird shit too will come out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I've already had. Okay, we've only been in the house just under 2 years. I bought the house in 22. Yeah, April
22. You've been 2 years already. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. So I've only been here about 2 years. I got the Alexa hooked up in the dining room, and she's on this Curio thing that's built into the side of the wall. And we there's like been 3 or 4 times already, not said a word to her, didn't even say hey Alexa or anything. And all of a sudden she'd go off. And start talking about weird crap, stupid things they didn't even ask.
Wow. Those things are creepy anyway, because they're always listening to you. They don't need any paranormal activity to be spooky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you just think about something and then like you open up Facebook and there's an ad for it. It's like, I didn't even say it out loud. How do you know?
It's called the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting to that hour mark.
Yeah, we're already past the hour, so.
So we're gonna be gone for 2 weeks, and do some revamping, and then we'll be back. So, what do you got coming up? You got something you want to come up? Something you want to promote before we leave?
Yeah. So we have later this month. We have an overnight investigation at the Shanley Hotel in Napanock. In April, we are doing the Columns Museum in Milford with our guest is Brian Cano from The Haunted Collector, from Paranormal Caught on Camera. He's our guest investigator. And in May, we have a gallery reading and investigation at a historic home that's been converted into an office in Montclair, New Jersey. So there should be fun. That's all that information is on our Facebook page, Full Moon Paranormal. You can find us on all social medias, Full Moon Paranormal. Look for the fairy. That's us.
Cool.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Oh, thanks for coming in and joining us.
Yeah. All right. You're out of here. Stay safe. Remember, anything's possible.